How often have you heard those words? Maybe you said them yourselves, right? Can I just get a little peace and quiet in here, please? It's a longing we all have. U2's song, Peace on Earth, has this lyric: Heaven on earth, we need it now. I'm sick of all this hanging around. Sick of sorrow, sick of pain, sick of hearing again and again that there's going to be peace on earth. Since the angels sang of peace over Bethlehem's plains, peace has been rather elusive for many. It can seem to be a promise unkept, a dream never realized. Maybe, though, just maybe, we don't see peace on earth because we don't quite understand what it is. When Jesus says, peace I give to you, he also makes it clear that his peace is different from the world's peace. The peace that Jesus gives is beyond all human understanding. His gift of peace is a bit more than the recipients can grasp. It's a product of neither our culture nor of our own wisdom. Jesus says, not as the world gives do I give to you. Yet the peace Jesus gives is a gift. The peace Jesus offers is not won by our diplomacy, not won by our hard-fought battles. His peace is a matter of grace. It is to be received like a gift. Grace and peace are often partners in the Bible. They frequently show up in the same sentence. There is no real peace without grace. In the early days of the church, a common greeting among Greek-speaking people was charis, which in English is translated as grace. Among Hebrew-speaking folk, the term was shalom, which means peace. Amazingly, in Christ, Gentile and Jew come together, and the greeting, grace and peace to you, a phrase often used by the Apostle Paul, is evidence of this new reconciliation. The peace that Jesus gives does not mean the end of trouble. This heartwarming, mind-rebooting gift often comes right smack dab in the midst of trouble rather than at its end. Times are when the peace Jesus gives doesn't make the pain or the crisis go away. Rather, it's what gets us through the storm. I remember when my niece, Peggy, was dying of cancer. She was a person of great faith and had a terrific sense of humor. A couple of months before she died, we were visiting her at the oncology center where she was staying. She said, I never won anything in my life. The center sponsored a drawing. I entered. Guess what? I won. Want to know what the prize was? A calendar watch. And her voice cascaded into giggles. And then a few moments later, she said, what am I going to do with a calendar watch? And she continued to giggle. Peggy did not want to die. But she was not afraid to die. She was ever so thankful for the peace that God had given her, a far greater prize than any drawing or raffle could provide. On Christmas Eve, 1914, French, English, German, and Belgian troops began singing Christmas carols across no man's land. Eventually, they would step out of their trenches on the Western Front of World War I and greet their enemies. Corroborated in many soldiers' diaries, the Christmas truce of 1914 brought shared meals, impromptu soccer games, and the burial of fallen comrades. Though it only lasted for a few days, it has become a symbol of our deep, deep need for peace in the midst of turmoil. It also shows how peace on earth begins with Christ and just a few who know its power. Years later, a British veteran of that silent night said in 1930, I then came to the conclusion that I have held very firmly ever since, that if we had been left to ourselves, there would never have been another shot fired. Such is the power of the one Isaiah called the Prince of Peace. Such is the promise of the angels of saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace.